Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. You join us on Sunday ahead of two Irish meetings. We've got one from Leopardstown and one from Tramore, and you'll hear them all live on William Hill's Racing Radio in the company of Darren Owen, John Budden and Luke Elder for all of Sunday's action. It's Leopardstown that's going to take the focus, though, on today's podcast. Flat action from the Irish venue. Sam Norris here on the podcast with you, and joining me on the line, as ever, is Andy Holding to take a look ahead to the action. Morning, Andy, you all right?
Morning, Sam. Yes, very well.
Did you enjoy the National yesterday?
I did, yeah. I thought it was a fantastic result. Leighton Aspel winning it back-to-back. He'll go down in the history books as being one of only the few jockeys to do that. And all credit to the horse and the trainer as well, because he's had a fairly hard season, obviously winning the Hennessy and then in the Gold Cup itself only 29 days previously. Many punters, including myself, have probably written him off. Yeah, he booked a few trends as well in that sense, you know, running in the National, running at the Festival, and of course carrying the Leopardstown 9. So, he's probably one of the most classiest winners of recent times.
Yeah, he certainly was one of the class horses in the race, and a real tough cookie as well, isn't he, I guess?
Oh, constitution of an ox. The only downside is that he was absolutely exhausted going past the line. He literally put every ounce of effort and sinew into that performance, and you do fear for his future. And like a lot of many other horses that have tried after the National and have failed miserably, that their seasons afterwards tend to fall off quite badly. So he was like a Gold Cup horse for many years going into this year's season, but having won the National, you'd almost have to say, well, is there going to be any more big races left for him? Because it takes a hell of a lot out of these horses when they run in the National. You'll probably almost underestimate how much, and that would be my only problem with him. But, you know, he's won a National, he's won a Hennessy, so even if he didn't win another race, he has connections, nothing.
Yeah, certainly does. And hopefully we don't see him burn out. But we'll move on to some flat action from Leopardstown. And it's a decent card today, and it includes potentially one of the stars of the flat season, the shape of John F. Kennedy a bit later.
It does, yeah. We've got to quickly train our minds to get focused onto the flat after the heady heights of the three-day Grand National meeting when we're watching all the best jumpers, strut their stuff. But we've got some good horses running today, and you've got to be very flexible in this game. You've got to go through your form books and go back all through your old tapes and your old speed ratings and try and remember some of these horses from last year, and that's what I've been feverishly doing this morning to obviously put together this podcast. And yeah, to be fair, there's some really exciting stuff there today. I think if you're a flat-rated, flat-minded person and you like your Irish racing, then this is a card for you.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's always the way every season when the flat comes back, you see horses on cars that you'd forgotten about from the previous year.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got a Derby favourite. We've got lots of horses that are running classics last year and several that are obviously running in with the 1,000 Irish 1,000 and 2,000 guineas respectively in mind.
Yeah, certainly are. We'll dive into the action then. It all starts at 2:10 from Leopardstown. The first race of the day is a filly's maiden, ran over a mile and two. 10 of them line up to contest this, and Xander is the 1-2 favourite this morning. Wedding Vows are 4-1 shot. Blue Parabia is 9-1. It's 9-1 for Brown B, and double figure prices or bigger the rest of them. Xander's been steadily backed in all morning, opened at 4-6, now a 1-2 shot. And by all accounts, could have lost her maiden tag here in October, beaten by just a short head. Will she take all the beating today?
She will on several accounts. First of all, her run first time out over this course was a very eye-catching one in a good maiden, won by a horse who got a bit of previous experience in the shape of Off Limits. And given the way that she came home that day, certainly earmarked her down as a horse to follow for next year, i.e. this year. And extra couple of furlongs wouldn't go amiss as well. She's really stoutly bred by Azamora out of a Dalakani mare. And obviously with the Dermot Weld camping, fantastic four winners yesterday at Gowran, And also, I've noticed this this train has had five maiden winners so far. Three-year-old maidens have been very much Dermot Weld's. You know, at the moment, he's just basically farming them all at the moment. So he's obviously got a good bunch of three-year-olds this year. They've all come on from two to three, and you know, we're just normal improvement. You'd expect this one to take this because the opposition, albeit you'd have to respect, because there is Joe Lyons, Aidan O'Brien, and Davy Watchman represented. None of them have got the same kind of promise that Xander displayed on her debut. So I think the market's about right here. 1-2 is a little bit short, I must admit, from William Hill, but you know, you could have had sort of even money 4-5 this morning for those that have. I think you're sitting pretty.
Xander getting the nod for Andy in the first race of the day, then the 2:10 at Leopardstown. We'll move ahead then to the second race coming up at 2:40. This one, a 2,000 Guineas trial. It's a listed event, ran over a mile, and Zorak is his 6-4 favourite. 130 about Jamaica. Same price, Parish Boy. Endless Drama is 9-2, and it's 12-1 or bigger the rest. Plenty of well-respected owners and stables represented here, Andy. It's going to be a fantastic race.
Yeah, I'm probably looking forward to this race the most. We've got some really, really nice colts in this. I think you could probably make a case out for five. A lot depends on which horses are most forward and which one handles the conditions and, if you like, which horse and connections want it the most today. Don't forget this is a trial. So quite a few of these, yes, are looking to win a trial, of course. It's a listed race full of lots of prestige. But at the same time, with some big races around the corner, you know, some connections are going to not necessarily smash their horse up just to get their head in front for the sake of it. So that makes it quite difficult for punters to get stuck into it, you know, with a massive degree of confidence. We'll start with a favourite, Zorak, obviously representing the all-conquering Dermot Weld stable, bound to be favourite based on the fact that Dermot Weld took this race last year with Go for Goal, and the yardies obviously hit the ground running. He won a fair maiden at Leopardstown towards the back end. I say that because he ran on the same card that Parish Boy took the listed race over two furlongs further. And by an absolute country mile, Parish Boy's race and performance was by a distance the better. So just based on that, it's hard to get enthusiastic over Zorak's price here at 6-4. Albeit, obviously, he's got lots of positives because his team's well forward. But for me, Jim Bolger's colt's definitely the better colt of the two, certainly from last season anyway, and he always struck me as being a horse that will develop into a Guineas type and a horse that will make a three-year-old. The day when he won, like I say, and he beat Order of St. George and Zaffalani, he posted a very good number. I got him doing an 88 that day, whereas Zorak only got him doing a 72. Also the sectional times from down the back, Parish Boy was quicker than Zorak as well. So it really does make little sense to take a short price about the Fav. So I do think Parish Boy, out of those two at the front of the market, would be the one I'd be interested in. We've obviously got Jamaica, who ran in the Acom at York and hasn't been seen since. We don't know whether he'll handle cutting the ground. His three runs have all been on a good surface, but he looks a nice type. And then we get onto the big two for me, the two that I'm really looking forward to seeing for the rest of the season. They're going to be my selection today because I want you to follow them for the rest of the year. Endless Drama is one of them. The other one is Portage. Now, I've chosen these two horses because they, for me, carry the most size and scope and promise going into this season for me. I really loved Endless Dreams' win at Nace. I wrote lots of extensive notes against this horse when he won that day. He powered clear in the latter stage to win by 5.5 lengths, posting a good number from a modest draw. And Joe Lyons has made a good start to the season. He had Convergence that won a listed race at Dundalk the other night, a nice three-year-old. So he's my number one choice. And the other one is Portage, as I mentioned, a big, strong, strapping colt by Teofilio. Again, a very similar unit size to Endless Drama. Covers a lot of ground. Beat a good field towards the back end at the Curra. The Warrior, who was third, he's already won a maiden in a good style this season. And he's a horse I think Mickey Halford can have plenty of fun with throughout this flat season. Whether he's going to be forward enough and streetwise enough and handle the ground as well as some of these horses in this race, I wouldn't be sure. So he'd only be a tentative choice today. But do keep an eye on both of these two horses, Endless Drama and Portage. Hopefully one of them will do me justice and run a massive race today.
Okay, Endless Drama and Portage then for Andy in that 2:40. They're 9-2 and 12-1 respectively this morning. We'll move on then to the 3:15. This one is the Phillies equivalent of that race, the 1,000 Guineas Trial. It's a Phillies Group 3 over 7 furlongs, and Qualify is the 3-1 favourite. 9-2 for Legatissimo, 5-1 Too Good To Be True. Stroll Patrol is 13-2. Stormfly 7-8-1 for Calypso Beat, and 10-1 or bigger the rest of them. How do you see this one unfolding, Andy?
Yeah, I'm a little bit more sort of straightforward with my recommendation here. I've just got one horse that I'm going to put up rather than a whole bunch of horses to keep an eye on. I really like Legatissimo as a two-year-old. She was a bit on the leg, a bit tall and a bit unfurnished for me. But that said, she ran a series of nice races on debut here at the track when she was not knocked about. She stepped up to that markedly next time out when she won in a fast time at Galway, beating at Tamador from the Kevin Brendagast stable. I think that horse is going to make up into a group animal this year. And then she bumped into Jack Naylor on a final start at the Curragh. That was late August. Now, we know what Jack Naylor went on to do, of course. Ran an absolute stormer in the Pre-Marcel Boussac at Longchamp on the 5th of October. So, you know, she was obviously up against a Group 1 horse that day. Again, the time was very good. And the third horse, Together Forever, never took a backward step after that race. It won its next three runs, including the Fillies Mile at Newmarket. So really, for me, Legatissimo's got the best form by distance coming into this race. It's just whether she's trained on, and of course, whether David Watchman's got a 100% straight after a long layoff. Could have done with a slightly better draw. Still 10 of 10 ran Leopardstown. Isn't that great? But it all depends where the jockeys race today, of course. They might come down the middle, and Still 10 ends up being a fantastic posse, but I do think this is a horse to take out of the race anyway. So it's a tip for today, but it's also a tip for the future. Legatissimo in the 1,000 Guineas Trial.
Okay, then Legatissimo getting the selection in that 3:15. Then we'll move ahead to the 3:50. This one is another Group 3 event over a mile and two furlongs. Just the three lineups contest this. John F. Kennedy is the 6-1 on favourite. It's 9-2 for Zaffilani, and Success Day is at 14-1. John F. Kennedy, the current 4-1 favourite for the Derby. If he's got any sort of aspirations on the Derby, Andy, he should be landing this.
He should be, yeah. It'd likely be fitness, really, and lack of match practice, which will prevent him from winning. But the other two horses are pretty useful in their own right. Successful Days and Zaffilani showed a fair level of form as two-year-olds, and of course, Successful Days has already won, so he's got fitness on his side. And as Tom Segal said in his piece this morning, he wouldn't be surprised if John F. Kennedy failed to wow everyone this afternoon, because some of Aidan O'Brien's colts haven't exactly been revved up to 100% maximum capacity so far. But yeah, it would come as a shock all the same to see John F. Kennedy fail to account for the other two horses. He's already got a rating of 114. Whether he deserves that after his three starts and what he's beaten is open to debate, but there's no denying he's got a great engine. He probably want better ground to stride out on in future, because he's got a lovely action. And this is very much a stepping stone for the classics later on in the season. It's a race that Ballydoyle have done really well in the past, so they obviously run their best horses here, the ones that they think are going to be Derby aspirants. And with Ryan Moore, of course, looking to get on board most of these good horses now, this could well be a deadly combination, not only today but for the future. So John F. Kennedy is the selection. Wouldn't recommend anyone to back it at 5-1 on. I don't think it's a race that many punters are going to be involved with financially, but we get a chance to see how good he is. Let's hope that he's trained on from 2-3.
Yep, certainly will do. Fair enough then. The thoughts of Andy in the 3:50. Next up then at 4:20, we have a mile and a half handicap with nine runners lining up to contest it. Co-favourites of three at the time of recording, in the shape of Fog of War, Castle's Rock and Spacious Sky. They're all a 4-1 shot. Zafian is 5-1. 7-1 for Taurine Legend. Eye of the Tiger is 10s and it's bigger prices. The rest of them, this one looks potentially quite hard to work out under.
It does, yeah. I quite like Fog of War. I tipped him when he beat Karazak at Tipperary on the podcast. But that was back in June. I'm not sure why he hasn't been out subsequently. Maybe he's had an issue or two. I thought maybe one or two of the jump boys might have had him. But either way, he comes here fresh and well, ready to crack on with his season. He's obviously quite forward because he's running in April, which is not something that Gerlines would normally be doing at this time of the season with a horse like this. And he's got a reasonable handicap mark. He could well be better than 90. But we'll see how he gets on. He's an interesting runner for the rest of the season. But I'm going to go with fitness and a horse that loves this track. And the one that stands out for me here is the one of Tony Martin's. And it's in the shape of Castle's Rock. He also runs Spacious Sky here. who also comes off the back of several runs on the over jumps. But Castle's Rock ran in a very good race at Leopardstown last time out. It was back on the 28th of February. It was a race that I've talked quite extensively about on the podcast. It was won by Sir Scorpion from the Mullins Yard. And that horse, of course, won the other day for the podcasters at Fairy House, vindicating a very fast time. Now, I know Castle's Rock was only seventh, but he probably didn't handle the ground as bad as it was on that occasion. You know, he'll handle, if you like, summer soft, but winter soft's a very different ball game. And he's won here at the track as well. He's won over 2 miles, and of course he performed very well when he was second to Toe the Line towards the back end of last season, when the whole field was strung out like washing on that occasion. That was one of my fastest handicap times I got the season was that race, won by John Keeley's mare. And of course John Keeley's mare has now gone into group company. So Castle's Rock was clearly up against it that day. Goes back to the scene of its two best runs. The ground on the soft side of yielding is just about ideal. He's fit after runs, and good runs as well over hurdles. And around about 5-1, I recommend we back Castle's Rock each way in that 4.20.
Castle's Rock then getting the pick in the 4.20 for Andy. It will move to the penultimate race of the day at 4.55. This one, another handicap, 1 mile and 1 furlong the trip this time. Sierra Sun is the 4-1 favourite at the time of recording. Shalamzar is 9-2. Aussie Valentine's a 5-chance, 11-2 for Third Dimension. Vitally Important, 8-1. Same price, I'll Be Your Clown. And it's 11s bar those. Who gets the pick in this one?
Yeah, again, this one's quite a difficult race to assess, like the previous contest. Wouldn't have a strong view here. The one thing I would say is that if Sierra Sun was potentially pattern class, then I think we'd see the odds of this one completely collapse in the market. We've seen several of the morning markets in favour of Dermot World tell us how good horses are likely to be in the early part of the season. So if this was a handicap good thing, I don't think we'd be seeing 5-1. Available for this horse. It'd be more of a 7-4, 2-1 shot. So I think that's almost like telling you that Sierra Sun probably isn't expected to justify its handicap mark today. That would be just my crass assumption of that particular horse today. So I'm probably going to go with horses who've already had a run under their belts. And you'd have to really be concentrating on the Irish Lincoln, which is always a race that pans out well as the season goes on. So I'm going to suggest we back a couple against it, a couple against the field, in the shape of Third Dimension and Aussie Valentine. The horses that finished second and third. Aussie Valentine had the benefit of running up the stand side rails, drawn 25 of 25. So maybe had a bit of an advantage, but still ran a blinder to chase home Tommy Stack's One Night I Dreamed. And back in third was Third Dimension, who got going a little bit too late down the middle of the track, but still did some good enough work in the closing stages to suggest that he would have been closer with a little bit better track position. He's also got some half-decent form around the track as well, Joe Lyons, his four-year-old, and I think he'll come on for the run. So, my two against the field are the two that finished second and third in the Irish Lincoln, Third Dimension and Aussie Valentine.
Okay, a couple of selections there then in the 4.55. The final race of the day comes up at 5.25. This one is a 7 furlong handicap. Unsinkable is the 7-2 favourite. Orjak is 9-2, 13-2 for Lean and Keen. Abu Sharma is 8-1, 8-1 as well for Captain Midnight and Lily's Prince, 9-1 High Emperor. Double figure prices or bigger than the rest. You mentioned the Irish Lincoln form in the previous race, Andy. With the favourite here, Unsinkable, disappointed in that race though.
He did. He was my main choice that day, and having tipped him at sort of 12-1 in the morning, to see him go off 6-1 and run as badly as he did, he certainly did sink, didn't he? Don't know about Unsinkable, but it was such a deplorably bad run that I just think you put it down to the ground that day. He probably wasn't as straight or as right as maybe the stable had thought, and that ground at the cover of that day was so unforgiving. If a horse doesn't handle it, he'll just give up, and I think that's what the horse did. He's got a much better surface to run on today, and he returns to the scene of his best ever win on the figures, and that was back here in October when he absolutely blitzed a good field, coming from almost a seemingly impossible position to win in the style of a very good horse. And I still maintain he's a half-decent animal. He just doesn't get a bad horse after one run, and particularly on heavy ground as well. So I'm going to give him another chance today to prove me right. Like I said, the time he did that day, back towards the back end of last year, was simply sensational for the grade. I still think he's a better horse than 83 suggests. He's obviously got quite a bit of stiff competition here as well. Alba Sharma is one of them. You've got High Focus, who could be half interesting, and Arajok, a horse that I've tipped on many occasions. He comes here off the back of several good runs from Dundalk as well, and he's been well punted this morning. But I'm going to stick with Unsinkable. I'm not going to give up on him, and I suggest the podcasters don't either.
Okay, then Unsinkable in the final race of the day then from Leopardstown, the 5:25. You can just remind us, please, Andy, your seven selections for the flat card today at Leopardstown.
Yeah, cracking viewing card today at Leopardstown, even if we don't have many chunky, meaty bets. I think Xander will start five backers off in the best possible fashion by justifying the money in its direction in the first. The 2:40, really good betting race this. Hopefully Endless Drama and Portage, my two horses to follow out of that race for the rest of the season, could live up to the lofty expectations. In the 3:15, Legatissima was probably the best of these on form last year, and she represents a nice each-way value bet in the 3:15. John F. Kennedy should open his account for the season in the Ballysacks. In the 4:20, I'll go with Tony Martin's Kazale Rock, who loves the track and comes here via a couple of good runs over hurdles. 4:55, difficult old race, but I quite like the chances of the two that ran well in the Lincoln, Aussie Valentine and Third Dimension. In the final race, Unsinkable, surely he's got to be better than that. And let's hope he puts the record straight in the concluding 7 furlong handicap.
There we are then. Excellent stuff. The thoughts of Andy Holding ahead of the Leopardstown card on this Sunday. And you'll hear all seven races live on William Hill Racing Radio alongside Market Raisin and Foss Lass with Darren Owen, John Budden and Luke Elder in the studio on Sunday. So do join us for all of that. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Andy. And I hope you enjoy the action today at Leopardstown.
Hopefully we'll. Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.